Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is November 16th, 2018, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by the master of dairy, the best dairy guy in the United States, if not the world. I'm really pumping you up today, Phil. Phil Plourd with Bleemling and Associates, a division of Dairy.com, which is a partner of ours. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Mike. How are you today?
I'm living the dream here in California. I'm trying to stay away from the smoke from these fires out here. But, you know, hey, it's Friday. It's all good. And you know what happened? I know you're based out of Wisconsin, so I apologize for bringing
little snow on the sidewalks out here this morning. Yep, Wisconsin.
Little snow, but you know what's even more important is my Seattle Seahawks beat your Green Bay Packers, so I'm apologizing, kind of.
Well, yeah, that's a sorry situation, I think, for you. It's a little bleak here in Wisconsin, and one of the things that we obsess about, or some people obsess about, is there a connection between Green Bay Packers playoff performance and cheese sales? These are things we worry about.
Oh my gosh. Is there? Have you done the correlation work on that?
Not really, but it's sort of a rural legend here that the deeper we go into the playoffs, the more cheese trays we move.
Ah, not just on people's heads.
No, not just on people's heads.
Well, you know, we've been getting a lot of questions on the dairy markets and the commercial markets. And for those that don't know, Phil's group is the best out there on commercial information, understanding the markets, and actually doing a lot of the similar things that we do on sweeteners as far as training people's with their dairy 101, et cetera. And, you know, you're a little bit famous because you do present at our spring seminar in Oak Brook every year and other places. And I'm just waiting for your book that's going to come out here soon about your life in dairy. But until then, I thought we'd bring you on today and talk a little bit about what's going on with the dairy markets.
Never a dull moment in the dairy world, for sure.
And I'll keep my dairy jokes to a minimum so people can really focus on what you have to say. So why don't you just take it from here and what's going on in dairy?
Well, I think we're at a place where historically prices tend to go up between at least Halloween and Thanksgiving, if not Halloween and Christmas into year end. And the markets are pretty much laying down. We've seen cheese prices at the lowest level since 2016 at one point this week. $1.35 block cheddar, that's pretty darn cheap.
Ouch.
The butter market has been okay. It hasn't managed to get below 220, but it hasn't gone anywhere to the upside either, and we're actually kind of seeing lower highs. So it's a market that's skating along. Mm. And the milk powder market, which I think some people have had some hopes for, has had more than one failure to launch over the past 6 weeks. Mm. So we're sitting at the bottom.
Sitting at the bottom. So how historically, sitting at this time of the year, are people looking to extend coverage? Are we seeing a lot of forward coverage? Because we obviously, our listeners talk about sugar and what's going on there as far as forward coverage. What is important for our listeners on the procurement side? If you were in their position, what would you be thinking?
Well, I think that butter might be the most prominent commodity amongst our mutual client set. And, you know, it's a market that has been aggressively priced at times over the past few years. We've seen $3 butter in the not too distant past. And so I think with butter, people have their budget set around $2.25, $2.30 a pound. Mm. The futures market's been kind of in that neighborhood. And when prices drop into the zone, people are buying it. I think they have a lot of forward cover on for next year, actually, just looking at open interest statistics up about 50% year over year.
Wow.
For the first half. So, you know, one of the things that we say, Mike, is that no one has been fired for paying too much for butter for a long time.
Yeah.
The buyers have been consistently rewarded. And so,
yeah.
And it's just make, you know, I'm not going to be the guy who says, oh no, just let it ride. I think that the 225, 235 area is a sensible budget place and a sensible buying place. So the psychology and the rhythm there seem to be pretty together and sensible. Mm, mm. I would guess milk powders for your clients. It's a little bit different story in that, you know, as I said, it's a market that has had some false starts. I think for the better part of 2 years, we've said, hey, look, powder's under a dollar. It's cheap, except for the fact that, you know, it's we've seen people, you know, buy 85 cents and the market goes to 70 or 65. And so
sure.
I think there's been a little bit more buyer's remorse on powder, understandably. And I think that leads to a little bit more potential for people to get caught next year because I think people are cautiously approaching the forward curve at the moment. You know, you can buy 90, 95 cent forward cover. That's still cheap against the long run of history, but it's been a long time now or since we've seen 95 cent powder in the U.S.
So it sounds like for these markets, you're nearer, there's not much downside, I guess I would say. What factors would I be looking at that could bull this market? Or are we kind of like where we've talked about with world sugar, tons of world sugar out there and in stocks and expected to come where you're going to see these depressed prices for a while? What would you be looking at?
I think that milk production in the U.S. seems more vulnerable. I think that the low milk prices that these low commodity values have been generating is certainly putting strain on the farm, and we're seeing accelerated exits. And so, especially east of I-29 or east of the Mississippi River, I think we're seeing a lot less milk powder being produced today than we have in a while. And so it's possible that people are, you know, while we're kind of all napping here at 85, 90 cent powder, that surplus is dwindling. But at the same time, there's tons of the stuff sitting around Europe.
Sure.
And New Zealand's off to a pretty good start. So I think there's a dynamic of too much milk everywhere in the world, you know, much like your sugar example. At times it just feels like we can't get going because you can find a little alley that looks like it's going to run to the upside, and it ultimately is blocked by too much supply somewhere in the world.
Okay. Anything else is a major factor? Because I got another question for you.
Well, I think on the butter side of things, you know, one of the red flags I see today is that cream multiples are quite high right now. Cream is really expensive. And I think that's due to the lower milk volumes. And that could be a little warning shot across the bow for butter buyers that, you know, if the cream markets are going to be constrained beyond the first of the year, you know, that could certainly color the inventory building season.
Sure.
So that's something to keep an eye on.
Okay. So here's my question. I get trade questions all the time, obviously, for sweetener and the new proposed agreement for North America. What's your perspective, if any, on trade as far as between the U.S. and Canada specifically? What major things are going on or could potentially happen there?
Well, on the Canada side, you know, we got a nice press release out of the negotiations that on the son of NAFTA deal. But when you start unpeeling it, I'm not really sure how much the U.S. industry, quote unquote, will win in that, assuming it passes. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little more access, but nothing that I would call dramatic in terms of, you know, Canada's dairy market's been closed in most ways for a long time.
Sure.
We had been finding some side doors in over the years. Those doors have been closed, and I don't expect anybody to be in a rush to reopen them.
Okay.
For U.S. dairy, Mexico is a bigger deal.
Okay, that was my next question. Let's go south. What's to play there?
Well, you know, 35% of our cheese exports go to Mexico. It's equal to about 1% of U.S. milk supply. Wow. And so that's pretty important. And despite having the deal negotiated and all sides in agreement, at least initially, because of the steel and aluminum tariffs, you know, we still have tariffs on cheese in Mexico, and we're seeing export volumes sliding, not surprisingly, given the tariffs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a real problem. I mean, when you look around and say, you know, how is it that we have sub $1.40 block cheddar cheese in November? You know, the trade situation is certainly playing a big factor in that. If we can't export,
got it,
we have problems.
Right, right. And so what do you think is going to happen moving forward? I mean, are there going to be some additional changes, or is it going to affect us longer term?
Well, I think that, predicting trade politics is maybe even a more foolish errand than predicting dairy product prices. But but since we do one, we might as well do both.
Or the Packers winning the whole thing this year, right?
Yeah. If you had the Packers plus 2.5, sorry. I think that, if everybody votes yes and the steel and aluminum tariffs are figured out and, the doors reopen, I don't think there's any major damage. But I think that, there's some press out there that the turnover in the House of Representatives might color the vote on the New Deal here in the U.S. And, until these steel and aluminum tariffs get figured out, which seems to be outside the main channel of the NAFTA renegotiation, we need that fixed as well. So
yeah,
I think with the deal that we have in place, I think there's reason to be more optimistic than we were before the deal was forged, but nothing's across the finish line just yet. And given the combustible nature of trade in the Trump era, who knows, right? I mean, I think we're optimistic, yeah. But we're not going to say, of course, on February 17th, it's going to be all good.
Yeah, certainly this administration, it's harder to predict where it might go. They've definitely done things that not consistent with what we've seen in the past. So it's kind of hard to predict what will happen in the future. So, but great. Well, Phil, you've done an awesome job. And I know a lot of our listeners are like, hey, how do I get a hold of this guy? Because he really is that good. So on the podcast here, we'll put how you guys can reach Phil. And you can also go to dairy.com. And that's another avenue. But we'll provide your information. And guess what? Those listening out there, our spring seminar is on April 24th in Oak Brook, Illinois again. And Phil is speaking, so if you want to get autographs from Phil, you can definitely do that. I think he'll have an awesome presentation as usual, and it'll be on consumer trends as the other presentations will. And on our website, you'll be able to register here very shortly. So look forward to that. But Phil, thank you so much for spending the time and talking to us a little bit about the dairy markets.
It's really been my pleasure, Mike. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah. And Phil, I want you to have a great weekend and enjoy the time with your family. Like I always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Until next time. Thank you, everyone. That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.